Archibald stepped toward the donning rig, raising his hands to grasp a strategically located chin-up bar, and pulling, climbing to a step poised at the threshold of the suit's back door. He was surprisingly game. Perhaps he was remembering spec-fix spielies he used to watch before he was collected, or perhaps he just didn't like being naked. With some help from Jessery, he introduced one pointed toe, then the other, into the leg holes at the base of the HTU, and lowered himself into them. As his feet descended, the hard segments rotated in different ways. Each bulb, it seemed, was joined to its neighbors by an airtight bearing. All of them could rotate independently so that elbows and knees could bend normally, without the need for a complex joint mechanism. Archibald looked even more roly-poly than usual now. He flexed one leg, then the other, giving us a look at how the segments allowed movement by rotating against each other.
"I want you to take notice of the bags ringing your thighs and waist," Jessery said, indicating some rubberish-looking stuff hanging limp from the inner walls of the HTU. "In a few minutes, those are going to rock your world."
"It is so noted,"
Archibald said, thrusting one hand, then the other, into the arm constructs, which seemed to end in blunt hemispherical domes, handless stumps. All we could see now was his back and his arse. Jessery did us all the favor of slamming the door on that. Now that our fraw was decent, Leo and I let the bolt drop, then migrated round to Archibald's front side. We could barely hear his muffled voice. Jessery jacked a wire into a socket on the chest and turned on an amplifier. We heard Archibald on a speaker.
"There's much for my hands to learn about down here. I wish I could see what I was doing."
"We'll go over it," Jessery promised.
He spoke distractedly, since he was busy examining an array of readouts on the front of the suit, making sure his fraw wasn't going to asphyxiate in there. I noticed others staring at Archibald's front and looking amused, so I came around to that side of him and discovered that a small, flat-panel spiele screen was planted in the middle of his chest. It was showing a live feed of Archibald's face, taken by a spiele captor inside the helmet. It was quite distorted because shot through a fisheye lens at close range, but gave us something to look at other than the opaque, smoked glass face mask.
"Pray tell, what are all these nozzles in front of my mouth?" Archibald asked, eyes downcast and scanning. "Left, water, right, food, and, as warranted, pharmaceuticals. The big one in the middle is the scupper."
"The what?"
"You throw up into it. Don't miss."
"Ah."
Archibald's eyes rose to look out the face mask at where his hands ought to have been. He raised one arm until its stump was up where he could see it. A hatch popped open. We all jumped back as something like a giant metal spider sprang out of it, flailing its limbs. On a second look, this proved to be a skeletal hand. Bones, joints, and tendons mimicking those of a natural hand, but all made of machined, black anodized metal, and skinless, unless you counted the black rubber pads on the tips of the fingers. It all grew out of a wrist joint that was fixed to the end of the stump. At first, it twitched and flopped spasmodically. One by one, the joints seemed to come under Archibald's control, and it began to move like a real hand. His other arm came up, the hatch popped open, and another hand emerged from it. This one, though, was less human-looking. It was studded with small tools.
"Explain what you were doing with your hands," I requested.
"The ends of the arms are roomy," Archibald said. "There is a sort of glove into which I can insert my hand. It is mechanically connected to the skeletal hand that you can all see."
"Pure mechanism?" Saman asked.
"No servos?"
"Strictly mechanical," said Jessery. "See for yourself."
And we gathered round for a closer look. The skele hand was animated by a number of metallic ribbons and pushrods that all disappeared into the arm stump where, we gathered, they were connected directly to the internal glove that Archibald was wearing.
"Simple, in a way," was Fra Osa's verdict, "yet very complex."
"Yes, except for the airtight seals, the whole thing could have been made by a medieval artisan with a lot of time on his hands," Jessery said. "Fortunately, the Mathic world has a large number of medieval artisans. And believe it or not, it's easier to build something like this than it is to make a pressurized spacesuit glove
that's actually good for anything.
There are other controls as well in the end of the stump, Arcibald volunteered. If I withdraw my hand from the glove...
The Skellahan twitched, flopped, and went limp. It snapped back into its storage compartment in the end of the stump, and the hatch closed over it.
Now,
Arcibald said,
I'm groping around on the inner surface of the stump, which is replete with all manners of buttons and switches. Be careful with those,
Jessery suggested.
Most of the suit's functions are controlled by voice commands, but there are manual overrides that you don't want to mess with.